Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Jim Jefferies Show podcast! I'm Jim Jefferies. Please subscribe to rate the podcast and come and see me on tour. October 27th in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun. Two performances. October 28th at the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center. That's a real place. November 10th and 11th, I'll be at Toronto at the Sony Center for Performing Arts. Also, my UK tour sold out so quickly, and everyone's complaining about the ticket price, but it sold out quickly, so it feels like I priced them about right. There'll be extra shows.
The invisible hand of the market.
There'll be extra shows in London and an extra show in Manchester. And Forrest Shaw, you're going to be coming with me.
Yes, I will. But, you know, people, I'm excited about that, too. I'm very excited. People complain about the ticket prices, though, a lot of times that are on the secondary market.
Yeah, what like, they do is they go, £200 for a ticket. You're a piece of shit. And then I go, just ring the theater directly, you fucking cunt who can't Google properly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, you've taken the first offer. Like, that seems a bit extreme.
Some guy on Craigslist. I'm like, yeah.
In saying that, at this moment while you're listening to the podcast, as soon as we leave the podcast, me and Forrest are going to see the Dodgers play in the World Series. We release the podcast tomorrow. So wasn't it a great win?
Oh, my God, Kershaw. No hitter.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe it.
I didn't see it. I was here working.
Watching Altuve just break his Achilles as he ran to first was one of the joyous things I've ever seen in my entire life.
That streaker.
Now, so we did an episode today. Oh, introduce everyone.
Oh, you want me to introduce
them? Yeah, you do it.
All right. Are you on the show too today?
Jack's back.
Well, our important guest today.
We had two guests we wanted to be on the show that have already left.
But our important guest. Our important guest today is the head writer of the Jim Jefferies Show, Jason Riesch.
Hello.
I just bossed Jason Riesch.
I like to call
usually
him.
People mess up my last name, but you messed up my first name.
I like to call him Jason Third Riesch.
It's good.
No, it's not a good joke.
Well, if you know how it's spelled, that is a better joke because it's kind of
because it looks like Third Reich.
Yeah.
His middle name
is
Third.
That's a good podcast joke.
Yeah.
More visual than it. And there's another person sitting over here.
Old man Hackett.
Hackett's back here on the show again. He's always sitting over there looming.
Hackett comes into my office every day with some bit of information, and he's just this fucking doom and gloom cunt. He just walks in. And it's like people need their clothes back because you won't believe this, but these aren't my clothes that I wear on the show. But I steal a lot of them. More suits than I've ever had in my entire life.
This episode,
I have two.
The wardrobe was very nice. I like
it. Had
today.
A print on it. Maybe that was the problem with the episode, but it had a print on it.
That was a great episode.
Yeah. It was a great episode, but if you were at the live recording, I fumbled a few words. I don't know why, but I was I had peanut butter in my mouth is what I call it. I've never had that doing stand-up, and I've never had it doing a late night show, but I am doing Fallon on Thursday, so who knows? It may be coming.
He'll help you out, though, Fallon.
Yeah, he'll tussle my hair, or we'll crush eggs into each other's heads.
Yeah, do some celebrity
And I hear
karaoke.
He's a drinker. I'm going to go out with him, get on the tear, break
still?
His finger.
I don't know.
He looks like a drinker.
I thought he cut back a little bit because he had he fell down or something.
He fell. He had his wedding ring on.
Yeah.
And that broke. He almost tore his finger off or something. And now he has like a cast on his finger, which I'll tell you a story right now. A little story that you might not know.
God, this is a good podcast.
Yeah, this is a good one. Okay. So what happened was I was performing in Sydney about 3 years ago and Tim Farris. Now, does anyone know who Tim Farris is?
You told us in the writer's room the other day,
you can fuck off then. Okay, so
I already forgot. So
Tim Farris is part of the Farris brothers, who were the founding members of INXS.
What was the other guy's name?
There was Kurt Pengelly.
No.
He was the guy who played saxophone. Yeah. Kurt Pengelly.
Yeah.
Right? And the other guy was called Magic Johnson. Michael Hutchins.
Michael Hutchins.
Yeah. So Michael Hutchins was the lead singer. And it was a funny thing because at my school... we had a rival school that was over the other side of the suburb. And their big thing was, we was like, oh, I hate kids from that school. And they were like, we had INXS. And then we'd be like, oh, that's pretty good, actually.
did you guys know how big they were in the world when
during
you were in Australia?
During the Kick album, it wasn't a bigger band in the world.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that? Because, I mean, it's a different era, like, as far as knowing what's going on in other countries. Because that album was... Every song, it felt like, was a hit on that album.
Yeah, everything was a single. Yeah.
We always get in trouble on this podcast when we sing songs, by the way. So just, you know, just don't start it. Just know that all that song. As soon as we start singing...
Need You Tonight.
Yeah, Need You Tonight.
Suicide Blonde?
That was another album.
That was the next album, right?
Listen Like Thieves.
Never Tear Us Apart.
That was from the Listen Like Thieves.
Never Tear Us Apart. New Sensation.
New Sensation, right.
Other Stuff. I should be looking it up right now.
Every song was a hit. Kick was a song.
Yeah, what was that other one?
Yeah, there was one forgetting.
Kick wasn't a hit, though. Here, I got it right here. Guns in the Sky? Devil Inside.
Devil Inside.
It had a great album cover because
Need You Tonight.
Skateboarding was at its height.
Okay, hold on.
It was just like a skateboard going over the top of Michael Hutchins' head.
Here's all the hits. There's a lot of, New Sensation, Devil Inside, Need You Tonight, and Mediate, which was that.
Bob Dylan.
Never Tear Us Apart, Mystify, and Wildlife. Was that, I think?
The Killers do a very good cover of Need
You. But there's only like three songs left on the album that like aren't hits. So that's
So if you're a young listener and you don't know who NXS were, they had a lead singer who put a belt around his neck and hung it to a door and masturbated himself to death. They say it's a suicide, so I'm going to say it was erotic asphyxiation. Anyway, so
That's Jim Jefferies, detective work.
CSI Jim Jefferies. Yeah.
So I met Tim Farris, who's the guitarist. Dun, 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 dun.
Don't do that. Don't do that. No, I mean, that was such a bad rendition of it. There's absolutely no way that they're going
to get
it.
So anyway, he came to my show, and he came backstage, and he had a finger that was all plastered up. And I said, what happened to your finger? And he goes, I was on my boat, and a rope wrapped around my finger, and it tore my finger off, and they stitched it back on. I said, whoa, that's terrible. And he goes, it's the end of NXS. That's my chord hand. I can't play guitar anymore. And so I said, so your finger is more important than Michael Hutchins? He didn't get a big laugh. But
They've been
through two extra singers since then. Anyway, I didn't think this podcast would go down that route.
What route? Death? Right at the beginning, I mean?
Well, NXS.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're Australian,
I didn't think NXS would be a big topic. Next week, Midnight Oil.
Before we start into the acts and stuff, I always like to go over the title sequence. Those are the things that we change each week. This week. Wait, these are all new from this week? No. Half baseball, half earth. Why is that?
Because the World Cup, the World Series.
Jesus
World Cup.
Christ, World Cup.
The World Series. So there's a baseball.
You know that thing you're about to go to tonight?
And the world.
Melania duplicating into many Melanias, which...
I like that one.
I'm pretty sure there's only one Melania, but it does really look...
People who may not know, there was a conspiracy theory floating around that there are Melania clones, that she has a whole bunch of body doubles. And that's why Trump is always saying, Melania happens to be right here. She's standing right here.
But the one from the clip
we
showed...
I think Melania's looking good, man. For all the stress she's having... like you think she would have gone downhill real fast, man, but I think she's looking good. I'm all for Melania.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I'm looking forward to the divorce and what celebrity she's going to marry next.
Mm.
Who's the Jackie Onassis, the Onassis? Who's the Onassis in her life?
I don't know.
Who's she going to marry next?
I don't know.
I think we talked about that. I think Ewan McGregor.
You just got divorced this week.
Why Ewan McGregor?
Because he got divorced this week.
That's not like her type. She's going to be like, he's like an actor?
She's
a little too old for you, Ewan.
She's going to get so much money in the divorce.
All right.
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. Me.
I think you have a shot.
Yeah. I mean, she's been with a non-drinker for long enough.
You've been to her hometown. You've got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, right. Totally.
I've seen the house where she grew up.
Yeah, you've eaten the pastries.
It's very intimate.
It's a humble but nice house.
You could just, when you meet her for the first time, you could throw in just casual conversation, like something that you remember. And
so you live on a street, whatever it is in Slovenia. Someone Google that.
You're from Slovakia, right?
Those pastries at the coffee shop.
Melania, I went to your castle. I did. I went to the castle where they overlooked the whole town of Sivaniska. Sivaniska.
Who knows? That was 14
episodes
ago.
That's why Jack is on that
podcast. I went there.
And then there was also in the title sequence, Trump was on half a golf cart and then half a tank. Because
that
he's going to
kill us all.
Oh, that's cryptic. Why is
what that? Was that, Jason?
I just thought it looked cool.
Ah, okay.
Oh, you picked that one.
I didn't pitch it, but I thought it looked. I liked the way it looked.
Yeah. That's and then one more. There was money, and it had O'Reilly's face on it, I guess, right? Is that?
Because money, because O'Reilly donated, not donated.
Yeah, he didn't
paid someone
money.
Off $32 million. Is that the amount?
That was the Oof. Amount of the settlement before.
That's a lot of sexual harassment for $32 million. That's not light sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Like, 32,000 is a reasonable amount for a little, like an ass slap
we,
or calling someone toots is 32,000.
Can we talk about this, that today he said he's mad at God?
I don't
for
know.
Everything
I
that's happened to him?
That, for the sexual harassment?
Well, for just what he's going through. He's mad at God.
Because God gave him three free will and an erection.
Yeah.
So if anyone's to blame, really, it is God, and he hasn't paid into the settlement.
Yeah, that is true. All the money that he gets all the time, God, he could give a little bit back to
but
a situation
how the
like this.
Fuck? I didn't know O'Reilly would even be worth $32 million in total.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
definitely.
Like, if I sexually harass you, you're getting maybe $3,000.
$3,000.
That's what you probably
that's what I'd have to pay for sexual harassment. Yeah.
I got a lot of money squirreled away in foreign harassment accounts. So the first act was, what was the first act?
Opioids.
Opioids, yes. Opioids, fentanyl.
The epidemic.
I found out today that it was very hard for me to say opioids over and over. So fentanyl is, you can explain it, a drug?
It is a synthetic type of heroin. Or analog to heroin. And it's much more powerful than heroin. So it's kind of...
I feel like heroin is like the Chipotle of drug ingredients, though. Do you remember when we didn't have Chipotle in ingredients? Now it's like Chipotle chicken, Chipotle.
Oh, the actual
the ingredients,
pepper, not the
chain.
Okay.
And now have some Chipotle mayonnaise. It's
everything,
like that.
Yeah.
Is fentanyl heroin, or is it just a heroin-like thing?
I think it's chemically similar.
Yeah.
I actually should know this considering
it is.
I just did a whole piece.
It's chemically similar, and it's. But it's for people that need opioids. It's to be able
it's
to.
It's like for
you can't give a
cancer
patient
treatment.
That's in pain shoot them up with heroin. So you have to make something that's a cleaner version of it's a painkiller basically. But
it's a very
really
very powerful medical grade painkiller.
And so how many people in America are taking fentanyl?
That should be taking it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but most cancer patients they're prescribed that, and they can be prescribed in a patch form. Sometimes they have an IVs as well. And sometimes when you go into surgery and you're not a cancer, just if you're going to some sort of surgery, like some sort of orthopedic surgery, they might put it, give you
and
an
that
idea
is
of it.
The,
that would
so
be
the ad,
best
though.
Patch to give up cigarettes ever.
So the ad, if you watch the show, what we showed during the show, that advertisement for the drug was that's meant for, cancer patients or people that need it, but it's, this sort of weirdly... instructive video.
One of my favorite jokes of the whole episode was that we actually showed how to buy it illegally.
Yeah.
As a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
So that's how you do it. You get it from Asia.
Yeah.
Just email them. You have to get Bitcoins.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's
the reporters in that clip too were really, they were like, oh shit, we did it. Like, they had no idea how fast it was going to happen.
Yeah, but wouldn't it get like noticed in the post? Do dogs sniff our post?
They do, but they can't sniff at all. There's so much. Because so
why are people trafficking drugs if we can just send them by post?
Because if something's coming from China, there's not like most of the illegal drugs. If the packages are coming from like South America or somewhere that like cocaine or marijuana or something's being trafficked versus China. I don't think there's a lot of illegal drugs being trafficked there.
Here we go. Here's a question.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's somehow like this is meant for.
Yeah,
pharmaceutical supply or something like that, where it's
because people need. I mean, people use it legally. A lot of people use it legally.
Now you have no idea how cheap drugs in America are. I don't either. But how much do you think a gram of cocaine costs in Australia?
I might know this.
I've been told $350. Now a gram of cocaine in America, $50.
Yeah. Well, because, you know.
I'm just saying you have it good in this country.
Because we're closer to South America. It's easier to get stuff in here. This is where it all comes from.
That's the thing is, why don't we just post it to Australia?
Because it's an island. It's easier. That's the same. It's a more controllable place. Because
there's dogs sniffing it. It all comes back. There's dogs sniffing your post.
It's a far trip for cocaine to go, yeah. Just from like where cocaine's like produced.
Well, anyway, we talked about fentanyl. Forrest got on a tangent there. We talked about that and all the problems
you're
that
you're
going
to be the drug
czar. I'm going to be a drug czar. Now, you can't tell me that there isn't Russian influence in our government when we call it a drug czar.
Oh, the czars have been around for a long time.
It is weird, though.
Right,
what other positions are there czars?
There's actually, I looked this up, and there are like dozens and dozens of them. That there's, it's a kind of an informal, it's not an official title, but there's a lot of
is there a healthcare czar?
There's all kinds of czars.
Education czar.
You name it, there's a czar for it.
It's a weird...
Really?
Yeah. Secretary is already a weird word. When you say Secretary of Defense, you're like, all right, but... Yeah.
I want to be a Secretary of
Czars. But there's
like
a list... like everything, it's on Wikipedia. There's a list of all the czars.
But here... So when you look up the definition of czar, number one, an emperor of Russia before 1917.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a person appointed by the government to advise on or coordinate policy in a particular area. It's like... Why did we choose czar, though? Yeah.
Number three is the most effective word that I can use on game Words with Friends.
Czar.
Yeah.
That's good.
I never get to use a Z.
Yeah.
It's either zoo.
Pizza.
Or czar. I could do a bit of pizza. Pizza. You never get two Zs.
Yeah. Is there only one in Words with Friends?
There's only one Z in Words with Friends. Yeah, it's the same as Scrabble.
Yeah, but you have that multiple letter thing, the blank one, where you can use anything. So I could.
This should be
a
Words with Friends.
Yeah, but you don't get points
podcast.
For that. You just,
do people still play Words with Friends?
I think so.
I do. A few.
You do? Oh,
right. My sister Nicole just yelled out that she does. Are we not friends? We're not friends. You've never asked me to play
Words with my boss.
Oh, wait. Here's a list of U.S. czars. Wait, but what the? No, those are presidents. Oh, foreign aid czar.
Yeah.
There's an aid czar.
There's an aid czar?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of aid czars. There's apparently Asian carp czar.
Asian carp.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that one. Yeah, that's
because
a good one.
Asian carps are an exotic invasive species that.
Oh, the fish?
Yeah, yeah. That they've
bad eating.
It's not that they're bad eating, it's that they've come over and they basically out-competed the animals that were supposed to live in the habitats and lakes.
That's
and stuff,
because they do a lot of after-school stuff.
Because they're Asian. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What did they win at? Violin playing? What are they doing?
Something, leave their blinkers on.
Yeah, yeah. The auto czar and auto recovery czar, bank bailout czar, bird flu czar.
If the auto czar was any good, we wouldn't need the auto recovery czar.
Exactly.
Would you say
czar? There's a lot of czars. I didn't know there was this many
you're
czars.
Just up to the bees yeah. right now.
What would you say if you're a czar? Do you say that in your name?
I'm the drug
like
czar.
Like if you're a doctor, Dr. Jim Jefferies.
Yes, the czar said today.
I'm not even a czar, and I want to say czar. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think. So, like, the drug czar is officially the director of drug control policy or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he has an official title. Yeah. So, I don't know what all the – if the Asian carps are.
But he
–
because it is a big problem biologically. So, it's – I guess they appointed one person to deal with that problem.
Is that a full-time job or does he take care of other fish?
The Asian carp czar – let me go back there real quick. Asian carp czar is John Gross, and it's from 2010 to the present. He was appointed by Barack Obama.
Do I get to vote for him?
And no, he's an appointee. But so Barack Obama appointee. I'm surprised that.
Trump didn't.
You want to
drain the swamp?
Get rid of the
one.
Yeah, exactly. The Asian carp czars.
Seriously.
There's a war czar, a weapons czar, a weatherization czar.
That is very science fiction.
That's the program manager, office of weatherization and intergovernmental that does sound like a conspiracy theory right there. That's
Cobra
that's,
Commander.
Is there a guitar czar? That would be hard to say.
No, there's a terrorism czar and a shipping czar, a science czar, rubber czar. He's a rubber director.
Rubber
wait,
czar.
Okay, there was. I know there's no longer rubber czar, but from 1942 to 1943, Franklin Roosevelt made a rubber director and called him the rubber czar.
For one year. That was a great year in that guy's life.
You can fuck that guy whenever you want. You're not going to get an STD.
Just for one
the
year.
Rubber czar. He's going to show up. Which leads us to Jack. How's your sex life going?
Still bad.
Still bad?
It's only been a week.
So from the last podcast, you didn't get any heat?
Hey,
I got some followers on Twitter, so that's
yeah,
a plus.
Yeah, follow Jack
women?
On Twitter.
Women or men?
Both.
Hey, have you hit these women up?
No.
I know it's hard
have
now.
Have you slid into their DMs, as I understand what kids were saying?
Yeah.
Have you done that? One thing? Person we just talked about, salad.
Mm. Yeah, man. Did she ask you to toss her a salad? That's a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Jack did a set last night at Flappers. He did some stand-up comedy at Flappers with
all
the writers.
All the writers
and me.
Of the Jim yeah. Jeffrey Show did a show at Flappers. I was at home rehearsing unsuccessfully. and Jack, how did the set go?
It went really well.
He did good.
I wrote him a joke.
I heard it was good.
I wrote him a joke that afternoon.
Oh, well, what did he? Did you do it?
He came and gave me a joke and I fixed it. I didn't
Which
write
one was it.
It? I didn't write
it was
it
the
from...
Chinese girl joke.
I came in late. I didn't see that.
Oh, okay.
Do it again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Do the joke.
Oh, shit. All right. Here we go.
What do you think? You're just going to sit here like a lump on a log? You got to do some shit?
That's kind of what I was hoping for.
A lump on a log. Is that a term?
Yeah, it is. I like it. It's an
is
old
that a shit on a log or just like, a lump on a log?
I learned it as a bump.
Yeah,
bump on a log. My mom used to say that.
I always said lump on a log.
Bump on a log.
Yeah, alliteration. There you go. Do the joke. You're not
all
getting
right,
out of
lumpy.
It. It better be funnier than lump on a log.
So I'm from Atlanta, and
boo. Not Karen. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, you've ever been to Atlanta?
Fuck Atlanta.
Atlanta's only got two things going for it. One of the things is the airport, and it's the busiest airport in the world, and it's also the airport with the highest amount of human trafficking, which is actually how I got into the country. I used to be a Chinese girl. Now look at me.
That's pretty good.
Good joke.
So you don't need the now look at me, but I fixed that joke. It was something else. It was just like, the original joke was just like, it's the biggest airport with human trafficking, and then he just stopped talking. It was weird. He just got everyone really depressed.
Just giving out facts.
He talked about human trafficking and then just looked sad.
I like the now look at me, though.
Yeah.
I think that's a good tag.
I hate the airport in Atlanta. I hate it.
It's not good. It's like really
it's
busy.
It's got a fucking train in it. I don't want to get off a plane and onto a train.
Yeah.
I want to get off on a plane and into a car. I don't want to go plane, train, car.
But that's Vegas. Every time you go to Vegas. You
yeah.
Go. I never said that was a good one either.
No,
what's
it's
the best
terrible.
Airport?
Best airport
oh,
is...
Yeah, there's one in like, it's like Des Moines or Omaha. It's like right next to, the, like the whole terminal is just this parallel to the road. So you each...
There's a lot
you
of good
You only walk
ones.
Like 10 feet off the plane and you're on the road. I don't know what it
I'll
is.
I'll tell you what I don't like is Denver because it's so far away from anything. They just built Very it out in the middle of nowhere. And there's this conspiracy theory that the bunkers for the apocalypse are underneath Denver Airport.
I've seen that
for like
theory,
the presidents and all that.
And apparently,
like
yeah, because that's
where you're
undisclosed really around location. It and
yeah, there's shit
Denver.
Going on in
Still
Denver.
Going on in Denver.
Shit Damn. Going on in Denver. So anyway, we talked about fentanyl. People are dying. Very sad. The next thing we talked about was drinking in fraternities. I don't like fraternities. I think it's stupid. I think Greek life or having brothership or having special handshakes or something is stupid. But Jason was in a fraternity.
I was. I wondered if you were going to remember that when we were talking.
You look like someone who's been hazed your whole life.
That's my just natural demeanor. Yeah. Not just college. It's been a constant.
What fraternity were you in?
I was in Alpha Epsilon Pi.
That sounds
all
hard to say.
The nice Jewish boys from Long Island. That's what it was.
Okay.
You're in a juternary. That jutern? No, it wouldn't connect
that
together.
That needs work.
How would you say Jewish fraternity?
Just Jewish
probably just like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Was
it's you, like a nationally Jewish fraternity.
Did you only accept Jews? Could I have gotten in?
No. But it's. I think it's nationally recognized as primarily Jewish fraternity.
Right. Okay. And what did the Jewish fraternity do different from regular fraternities?
Not much. I mean, it was just like if you were Jewish, that was one of the places you went to check out. You know, when you were
was there a
houses.
Female Jewish fraternity like in Revenge of the Nerds, where it was just...
right? I don't know if there was a nationally. There must be nationally Jewish sorority.
I don't know.
If but was the hazing bad?
See, I mean, A, no, and B, I mean, to give you an example of what I had to endure, I missed, I would say, 80% of all the pledging stuff because I was rehearsing for a play. And so I was just like, sorry, guys, I got rehearsal. I can't do whatever stupid thing is happening tonight. So,
but I don't think that's a normal fraternity. Right?
They have one painful thing to do, but it doesn't matter. It's cutting the end of your dick off.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
But I planned for that.
I think you do that when you're
I planned
a kid.
For that 18 years before.
I'm circumcised as well. Did you know that about me?
Yeah.
I'm a circumcised
person.
I
did know that.
How did
Everyone
you know
in
that?
Australia was circumcised in the 70s because of sand and heat and wind. Something to do with the
sand.
Elements.
Too many people were getting sand on their dick.
Like, we hadn't invented underwear yet. You didn't want a sand caught up there. It was too hot, so we cut the end of people's dicks off.
That sounds like something somebody would say about Australians that you would get mad at. You're like, I know why you're all circumcised, because goddamn kangaroos kicking dirt into dicks. That's why.
That's not far from the truth.
I have to say, though, I know you mentioned this the other day, so I just had a daughter a few weeks ago. And
did you get her circumcised?
Well, but I was so, one of the things, I mean, we're excited, but one of the things I was like, oh no, breasts, that's going to be great. I don't have to hold the baby while they
cry. Cut a piece of their body
I was off. There when my son was circumcised, and it was stressful.
Yeah, I don't think I would have handled
it. He was crying before it anyway. It was just like more pain added to the growth.
Yeah, but do you have to like be there and then like, be proud of it. I don't know. I mean, because it's bris and
the Jewish. What do you do with the foreskin?
I'm gonna wait till I have six kids and have some calamari.
Make a charm bracelet.
I'm circumcised.
I'm using it as a thimble.
I'm circumcised too. I don't know where my foreskin is.
So. No one's kept it.
I don't know.
If anyone out there has foreskin,
misconnections.
Email.
Yeah. You foreskin. Yeah. Me.
Seeking F.
Where are you?
Man seeking foreskin.
Do you think they keep it for us?
I don't know. I imagine some mothers keep it. I don't know.
No, they don't. It's only very small.
You frame it.
No, it shrivels.
You bronze it. Like
it shrivels
baby
up and dies. It's dead skin. It doesn't like exist forever.
You'd have
to put it in alcohol.
Yeah, you know, preserve it, put in some formaldehyde.
One day your foreskin is going to come knocking at your door.
It's all grown ups.
Yeah.
Got a job.
The father never knew.
He's had more sex than Jack.
I think all I know the third season of This Is Us. So we talked about that, and then we talked about fraternities and the drinking.
The drinking age was the big thing.
And drinking age, because me as an Australian who's been drinking since I was probably 14, the legal age is 18, I was getting into nightclubs illegally at 16, and look at how great I turned out. And I always thought the whole 21 age was stupid. Now, my nephew is 18. He works in a bar. And he said to me, he goes, oh, I might come out and visit for a couple of weeks. And I went, you can't drink here. And he's like, oh, I'll wait a couple of years probably.
Yeah,
actually, he needs to wait three, but he's done.
That was crazy, the list of countries that you guys
put up. That was really amazing to me, actually.
Yeah, Micronesia.
Mongolia.
Palau.
Sri Lanka. That's all I remember. And then maybe
the word C.
What? Oh, Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
The Ivory Coast.
So all countries that you associate with the United States.
Very tiny, all small, these sort of island South Pacific countries.
And I think there's countries that the drinking age is 16. I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
We didn't check that, but I think there are younger countries.
When I was really little, I went to Germany. It was the last time I saw my dad, everybody. But I was...
Was it on a train?
But
it's really sad, Forrest.
I was...
Was that the last time you saw your dad?
Yeah, I was 12. That was the last time I saw him. Yeah.
Where does he live now?
I don't know, Alabama or something like that.
Oh, and you saw him in Germany? Why did you see him in Germany?
Because I was turning 12 and I was like still trying to have some sort of relationship with my dad, so I had to fly all the way to Germany to do it.
But why was
he made a lot of effort, so I'm trying to say.
Why was he in Germany?
He's in the military. He was stationed there in Kaiserslautern.
I actually knew all this, but I just wanted to get that information out.
Yeah, and so I remember going out to dinner one night and I got to have a sip of wine. It wasn't like have a whole bunch, but they like, you know, like you're saying, they get kids.
You dip your sausage in it, eat some sauerkraut, sip of wine.
But at the time, I wasn't allowed to go into an arcade and play video games. Like that
but
was
you can drink wine.
Yeah, because when you're told, they're like, we don't want your brain being absorbed by this, you know, exposed to this. But
it's funny. I had the strictest upbringing you could imagine. My parents were like, if I came home late, or I was grounded, I was in trouble constantly, and I wasn't that bad a kid. But for whatever reason, my mother let it slide whenever I was drunk when I was 15. She didn't give a fuck.
Oh, really?
She didn't care. I was always drinking with my brothers as well. We used to sit under the Harbour Bridge in Sydney and just get a case of beer and just sit there and drink like trolls under a bridge. But a beautiful view, and the cops never came around there.
Cans.
So we just tossing cans into the harbour.
I drank. What age is your first drink?
Sometime in high school.
Before 18, yeah.
I don't know, 16, something like that.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah,
to a high school party.
Jack, have you had a drink yet?
Yes.
How old are you? I've given you a drink.
I was 21 and a half.
You waited. You're the person.
Yeah, I'm the one person.
Why did you wait after
he was 21? He didn't even have it when he turned 21.
Why? Fun of me on my birthday.
Why did you wait so long?
It was weird. I just alcohol just didn't interest me.
Okay, but how do you know you never tried it?
I just saw other people getting drunk, and I saw my parents have a little bit when I was growing up, and I just, it just didn't, and school, honestly, school scared me a little bit, all the stuff that just is like, you're going to drive, and you're going to die, and...
But your father is an executive at Coca-Cola. Do you know how well that mixes with Jack Daniels?
No.
It's like the two of them should be fucking each other. It's a marriage made in heaven, Jack and Coke. Try it!
That's why his name's Jack, yeah, right. Maybe.
Nope.
Yeah, is your sister called Coke?
No, she's called Daniel.
Do you have a sister?
No, a brother.
Oh, that's a shame.
What's his name?
Sean.
That doesn't work out.
Yeah, Jack joke. And yeah. Sean. That sounds like a shit radio
Sean
show.
Sean and Coke. Sean and Coke's terrible.
So we talked about the legal drinking age and all the problems that people have drinking for us.
Before we go on, like, I'm just looking at the sheet here. Penn State, Tim Piazza died. Estimated to have a 0.40 blood alcohol level. I can't even.
But he also won the crazy. Cy Young three times. That sounds like a baseball
no,
player.
No, that's legal limit.
Mike Piazza was a catcher for the Dodgers.
Oh, right.
Yeah, legal is 0.08, I believe. You can't drive 0.08. And this is 0.4. Do you think you've ever had a 0.4? I don't think.
I've
been really drunk, but 0.4.
We've been really drunk. I've definitely done a 3. I've definitely done a 3.
This is just like guessing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Did you ever? I had a friend, this was in college, but I didn't even know where it came from, but he had a breathalyzer.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the game is to see how high you can blow a breathalyzer before you're dead.
But everyone has, like, a friend that, like, you know, everyone handles alcohol differently. And there was, like, friends that I would always have that would just completely black out, but still be, you know, you wouldn't even know it. They'd just be like, yeah, I'm socializing. And then the next day, they don't remember anything.
That's me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a blackout drunk.
Well, but, I mean, not to the point. Like, I've never done anything crazy or hurt myself or, like, you know, but I'll forget.
Yeah, I forget.
Big chunks of the night. Not so much anymore, but I used to. I had to slow it down a little bit.
You have a baby, you know that, right?
Hey, well, yeah, that's why I had to slow it down.
Oh.
So it's...
Me and Hank's mother used to drink in front of him constantly.
What's okay to drink in front of and stuff, but I don't know.
We went back to cocktails in the house immediately.
Yeah, that's what when I had a baby, I stopped going out to drink and just got fucked up at home. Right. And I never used to get fucked up at home before I had a kid. I never even had alcohol in the house.
Oh, see, we would have drinks in the house all the time. And then, you know, my wife couldn't really enjoy them in the same way for a long time.
Did she have any? Did she drink it all while she was pregnant?
A little bit.
Yeah, I think a little bit's all right. You're not getting fucked up. A glass of wine here, whatever.
Yeah, like we went on vacation and she had a glass of wine. Yeah. But it wasn't, you know.
I remember like people being so judgmental when Kate was pregnant with Hank that people would just like slap the crack pipe out of her hand.
I
remember being so angry. Like these people are so judgy.
Right.
Do you so you're
Kate's
you think,
on crack, by the way.
Do you think that if the drinking age was 18, that you think there'd be less deaths?
No, I think there'd be definitely less deaths in fraternities because you wouldn't be drinking in houses. You'd go out to bars. And bars, you don't die in bars. You don't die in bars.
So you'd get help.
Bars don't give you beer, tube, funnel, thingy, majiggies, and, you know, you don't play drinking games in bars for the most part.
Yeah.
And bars kick you out when you're too fucked up.
Yeah, and you have to pay for it.
Yeah, there's that as well. But
what do you know, Jack? You don't even
You never even bought a drink, Jack. Have you ever paid for a drink?
Yeah.
When?
A couple days ago. Actually, last night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For yourself or for someone else?
At Flappers?
Yeah.
What's your drink of choice?
I am a big fan of the screwdriver.
Oh, yes.
That's such a, I just started drinking right there.
Like, I did start drinking. I love the screwdriver.
Sex on a beach.
Because it's the most simple drink that's officially a cocktail. Everything else is a vodka and Coke, a Jack and Coke, and then a vodka and orange is a screwdriver.
Yeah.
What's in a grasshopper? I forget. It's like...
It's creme de menthe and I don't know what else. But
creme
it's
de
like,
menthe.
Creme de menthe and a thing. And I went to bartending school for 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Where they teach all the cocktails so you can get a job in a bar.
Yeah.
And it was just me and ugly guys. For some reason, good-looking girls still got jobs in bars without doing the course. I don't know how it happened. But you'd have to mix cocktails and stuff like that and learn how to pour a beer. It was very exciting times. I'm boring everyone here.
Do you guys know who the information czar is?
Oh, right. That would be me.
All right.
Would I ask if I wanted that information?
Me. I've got it right here. Oh. It's Kundra Vivek. That's the old one.
Is Kundra a boy or a girl?
No.
Let's debate this right now. You meet someone. I want you to meet my friend Kundra. boy or a girl?
I know what the answer
is.
I'm
going to say female.
It's a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
he was the original information czar, and now this name is just as crazy. This is the current information czar, Van Rockel Steven.
Van Rockel Steven.
Wait, is Steven his first
Van
name?
Rockel.
Oh, yeah, Steven Van Rockel. I'm sorry. They had the names back. They had the names backwards in the
show. Do you know when he was a kid and he went into a shop and there was all those personalized mugs?
Yeah.
How hard was his life?
No, but
you got any Van Rockel?
I want Van Rockel mugs? I want to make this point clear. Kundra was the last name. But still, the first name is Vivek. So I don't know if you're going
to... But I would have said male then. If
Vivek?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vivek.
Vivek is a male name? Yeah, okay.
Vivek aren't making you a little license plate for your car,
Vivek.
With Vivek on it.
They never had Forrest. You probably had yours, Jason. No problem.
Oh yeah, I
mugs,
mean,
keychains.
My name was super popular.
I've always thought with your name Forrest, you had a good life, and then that movie came out, and then you just went fuck.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, because people, I hang out with you, and I introduce you to people, and they still go run Forrest run.
Yeah, and it's like it's like,
and it's like,
and I like the name.
30 years.
I love the name Forrest.
30 years, 20 years,
it
20
was
years.
1990. It was like 25 years.
25 years, and people still say that to you. And we all can see that you can't run.
No, but
it's so insulting.
Sometimes people say that, and then they ask, and sincerely ask, they're like, yeah, you've heard that before, right? Like, of course I've heard that before. Like, it's been 20, whatever. Yeah, it's like,
you know what you should do? Yeah. You should, like, when you meet a Steven, you should go, oh, Steven, you suck dicks, right? Suck dicks. Suck dicks. Steven, you suck dicks. And then they look at you and go, you haven't seen that movie?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, it's a very popular film. You've never heard that before?
It's big in Belgium. Maybe you haven't seen it. It's called The Information.
So that was that was drinking. We all enjoyed drinking. Then we had an interview.
Yes.
We did.
I got to find his name.
Tom Nichols.
Tom Nichols. Tom Nichols was a very nice
I can give
fella.
You some background on real quick.
The interview was my favorite part of the episode.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was good.
I didn't have to read.
He's the author of The Death of Expertise, and he was also the conservative leader of the Never Trump movement. He's a professor of security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College. He's a five-time winner of Jeopardy.
Yes, only because they cut you off at five.
Yeah,
as we
could have kept going.
You could tell when you met him. You're like, this guy. Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out.
Like, that's why if you watch the interview, I just do dumb the whole time. Like every other time when I've talked about healthcare or something, or talked to the insane clown posse, I've tried to stay on the same intellectual level. Mm. And then with this guy, I was like, nah, don't even try. This guy's definitely smart. He's definitely smarter than you.
He was good. He was funny, too, I thought.
Yeah, he was funny.
And he talked about the Dunning-Kruger effect, which I think is really interesting because we've talked about this before. The dumber you are, the more confident that you are that you're not dumb.
Right.
And that is like... And I guess it's just exacerbated now with the internet and stuff and being able to look up things and think you know stuff.
That was
my
favorite answer in the whole interview was me going, I don't know about that.
That was funny.
Yeah, yeah. You used to have a joke, though, back in the day. Remember, it was like about America being... Sorry, America was like number one in...
Number one in confidence, but number 20 in education.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're producing confident, stupid people. The worst human beings.
Yeah.
But Japan's like number one in education.
Number one in education, number 30 in confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they're crushing it.
Yeah, but they'd always... That was something
and that's imposter syndrome. I don't know if there's a more technical name, but like when you... are doing it when you are smart and you think you're not.
Oh, I have imposter syndrome on my career badly, man. I expect every day for there to be a phone call going, yeah, it turns out you're not funny.
I think a lot of legitimately talented show business people do.
I think it's very common.
There's one of two kinds of people in show business. It's either the Dunning-Kruger people or the imposter syndrome.
I hear Pierce Morgan, not Pierce Morgan, he probably doesn't have that, but Pierce Bronson.
Really? James Bond.
Yeah, so Pierce, if you're listening, mate, you have done too well. You're not that good looking. You're not that great an actor. Your
Thomas
life is
Crown
a lie.
Affair.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You do not deserve it, Pierce.
Remington Steele.
I forgot it. He's had a long career, huh?
He's had a great career for an Irishman.
He's James Bond already. I mean, if you're James Bond, you're art. Except, you know, your buddy Lazenby only did one. But
Lazenby did one. I feel like they're either going to go for who's the guy? The black guy.
Idris Elba.
He's going to be the next James Bond.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. He's going to be the next James Bond.
Wait, have you told the story on the podcast? Was Lazenby the, is that some kind of cheese guy?
Oh, Lazenby, George Lazenby.
I was thinking about that today.
I've told this on other podcasts, but George Lazenby, when I did my sitcom Legit, played my father. And literally what happened was...
He was James Bond one time.
And literally I wanted Paul Hogan to play my dad. but Paul Hogan was busy, you know, Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
And so then the casting people came back to me and said, how about James Bond? And I said, all right. Right. Now, we got an actress from Australia who I love called Magda Sabansky to play my mother, who's an overweight woman. I don't think I'm being mean in saying
that. She was the wife in Babe.
The wife in Babe.
But she's done a lot of other stuff. But yeah, if you're American, you go.
She's massive in Australia, but she was the wife in Babe was the big thing. And so my mother got very upset that my dad was going to be portrayed by James Bond. Yeah. And my dad was going around to his bowling club going, I'm being played by James Bond. James Bond. I'm going to be James Bond. Anyway, so we got all excited to meet George Lazenby. And what happened was there's actually a documentary on, I'm going to say, what's not Netflix, the other one?
Hulu.
About being Bond. And it's all about him. And I'm in the documentary talking about him on Conan.
Awesome.
And it's all about this guy that did one James Bond movie. And the first time I met Lazenby, we were doing a scene where we were laying on beach towels on some sand. And I was laying next to him. He's probably 75 years old. And I thought, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I need to know the answer to this question. And I said, George, have you ever fucked a Bond girl? And he replied with, it'd be easier to tell you which ones I haven't fucked. They all come to the conventions. So George has been through a few Bond girls, but not in their prime. Not in their prime. he's done it in a Motel 6 with a whole lot of headshots of himself on the side table. And so anyway, so the other dad in the piece was John Ratzenberg, who'll be known as Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
Yeah. Toy Story.
Yeah, the pig in Toy Story. Now, he's a Republican. A conspiracy theorist and a friend.
Necessarily in that order.
No, if he's listening, man, I don't have a bad word to say about the guy. His thoughts are completely different from my thoughts, but man, if I want to have a beer with someone for a fucking hour, man, John Ratzenberg's my boy, man.
Yeah.
He's just like, we once walked into a bar. Was it you?
Yeah, in Kansas City.
In Kansas City. Me, Forrest and John Ratzenberg walked into a bar that could be described as an
just
urban,
to give you pre- just
an
to preface
urban
it,
bar.
He wanted
were you
to
shooting
he,
there.
He, no, he
I was doing a gig. He was just in town doing a Comic Con.
He was at Comic Con. He's been in every Pixar movie, and he also was in Empire Strikes Back. And he was in all, so he does Comic Cons. And we went to a barbecue place. I can't remember the name of it. That's a famous barbecue place in Kansas City.
Salt and Pepper on Chains.
Yeah.
In case you stole them. Yeah. This is the place we're in.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like late at night, and it was just we took a cab. We were in a neighborhood that was a neighborhood where when we tried to get a cab back, they wouldn't come get us.
Right.
Just to give you, that's a real, like, we were trying to get a cab, and we're like, we're not coming there to pick you up. And the owner of the barbecue place ended up giving us a ride back. Wow. But it was attached to a bar that used to be a Mexican restaurant because it was Mexican themed, but we were the only three white people in there.
And so it was me, Forrest, and John Ratzenberg walked in, and it was older black people in the bar, and they were listening to like 70s, like soul music type of thing. And as soon as we walked in, we were noticeably...
If the needle could have went...
We were in the wrong... I never felt this in a bar in my whole life to this extent. Everyone just turned and looked at us, and we just went... And then we went up to the bar, and I said to John, I said, we should get going. We shouldn't be here. And John went... Yeah, just wait a minute there, Jimmy. Yeah, just wait a second there. And everyone's ignoring us. And then the bartender came up and they gave us beers, but she put the napkin in the top of the beers. I've never seen that either.
Yeah,
and then lit it on fire and
filled with alcohol. Yeah.
And then everyone's still staring at us. Like one person actually asked me like what I was doing there or what I wanted. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just having a beer. Like it was a very weird situation. And then John's just like, yeah, just give it a minute. Just give it a minute. And I'm like, John, we have to go. And then someone at the end of the bar went, oh my God, it's Norm.
Yeah. They got
then,
it wrong.
And then he went, close enough.
That's
right?
Great.
And then within 5 minutes, we were arm in arm all singing the theme song to Cheers.
Yeah, we sang the theme song. And then there was a line to take pictures of them.
Yeah. If you ever walk into a bar with Cliff Clavin, you are going to have a good fucking time and you will not pay for drinks.
And then,
you will not.
It was Gates Barbecue, I just remember it. And then the owner who was the grandson of the original Gates, gave us a ride home because we were like, because the lady, I remember at the restaurant, I was like, hey, we need to get a cab. And she goes, okay, we'll see if that works. And she was like, made a phone call. She's like, there's no cabs coming. That's so funny. Yeah.
But he's a fun guy. And I'll give John credit because, as I said, he's a staunch Republican. Me and him have very different views on the world. But after, I think, episode 3, he texted me for the first time in about a year to say how much he was enjoying the show. And how he felt like it was a well-measured show that we put on.
Yeah, that's nice.
But you still didn't tell the story. The Jason story, said that he likes the George Lazenby cheese.
Oh, the cheese. Oh, okay, so you write scripts. You put the description in.
Got way off track.
Yeah.
And there was a scene that was actually based on a real-life thing about my mother. Whenever she goes on holiday, she gets sick. So she goes to another country, and she always spends time in the hospital. She gets deep vein thrombosis, which is the disease you get, the condition you get. From sitting still for too long, and you get blood clots in your legs. Anyway, so in the episode, my mum and dad are coming to visit me, and this is my dad in real life. My mother complains about illness, and then my dad ignores it because it's just an everyday occurrence. And so Magda comes in playing my mum, and she goes, "I have to be rushed to hospital. I have blood clots in my legs." And then George was meant to walk to the fridge, open the fridge, act like he was ignoring it, pull out a plate that had cheese on it, and say the line, "Is this some type of cheese?" Like just a throwaway line, right? But he didn't read the directions. He only read his line. So she went, "I've got blood clots in my legs." And then George just stood in the middle of the room going, "Is this some type of cheese?"
I was just thinking about that. I think about that all the time, actually. And this is the thing. Saying that line.
This was the first time he had done an acting role where there was digital film. Uh-huh. Like, not digital, it wasn't film. And so he thought acting was only ever done with like two takes. Because film was expensive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
we're burning film here.
He was like, I nailed it. Is this some type of cheese? Next line. Give it to me. And then we closed up the show with one of my best friends in the whole wide world. Known this guy for over 17 years. This guy makes me laugh. Makes me laugh more than any other human on earth.
He's the comedy czar.
Rhys Darby, who many of you will know from Flight of the Conchords, who played Murray. He's in the new TV show Wrecked on TBS, which don't watch that. It's on the same time as us.
Short Poppies. He had a whole
series. Short Poppies. Really, he made his own series called Netflix. Short Poppies. He is just a ball of funny. It's like the same way that Chris Farley was just funny. Rhys Darby is just funny. If you spend any time with him, he's just hysterically funny.
He's automatically funny. I remember last night you told me like what was going on with the act, and you were just telling me the line. You were just saying them like without anything, and I was just picturing Rhys doing it, and I was already laughing because I knew it was going to be that funny.
Rhys was in Legit for a couple of episodes. He's on this show. I had a bad read today during the show. I was very embarrassed because Rhys was there. Because I admire Rhys so much. I didn't want to fuck up in front of Rhys, so that was sad.
it's going to be okay.
But I did it. It came out probably good.
The piece you did with him, that was back and forth.
Now, the piece we did together was a whole piece on how whenever you watch American sports in Australia, Britain, anywhere else besides America, they don't give you the commentary from their – evidently it costs more or something. Well, they'll give you the commentary, but they won't give you the halftime report. They'll just give you like guys – like if you're watching baseball – they'll give you like the cricket commentators.
Yeah.
Like, here you go. These guys are going to talk about sports.
Right, yeah.
And so I thought it'd be funny to do a bit where Rhys was talking about the World Series and him being baffled by the fact that no one else in the world is involved. Right. And Rhys was funny as always.
He was very funny.
He came in and the one request he had is, "I have to wear headphones."
Yeah.
"Headphones will make me funnier."
And those headphones
were pretty funny headphones.
And during the run through, the stand in was what Matt Kirshen was doing, the stand in. But I don't think he had the antenna all pulled all the way up. And
no, he didn't.
Yeah, I think that's how good Reese is. He's like, oh, then 10 all the way up. Wait for
it. Oh, I know how to make this funny.
And he pulled it all the way. Yeah, the headphones are great. But
those headphones
great.
Also, now, like,
we have to wrap this podcast up because Tommy Caprio, who we tease sometimes in the episode because he always tries to...
He just did a creepy thing.
He wants to deny that he wants to be famous, but he always puts photos of himself on Instagram on the show. We are going to the World Series right now. Tommy is driving us, and he's thinking that we're taking too long on the podcast. So, anyone got any dates they want to add?
Anything, Jason, you want to say?
No, like I don't do anything.
Twitter handle or anything you want to promote?
Show. You sure? You can follow me on Twitter if you want. It's
Jason, that's really
Jason
selling
M.
It.
Jason M. Reich. Maybe I'll tweet.
You got to spell it.
JasonMreich. It's all right. Exciting.
Jack, you doing anything?
Nah.
Great.
Good night, everyone.
I would like to plug Jack's career.
Oh, I need to plug one thing. You start walking away. I'm going to be at Side Splitters Comedy Club this weekend. This weekend, when you're listening to it. So come out. It's in Tampa. If you live in Tampa, I know we have listeners I've seen on there. Please come out so I can have some sort of career in stand-up. And please subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to them.